start it, if I can get a approval for the minutes, motion to approve.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. We're going to skip to the last resolution. That'll be 321 for Mr. White over there, came to see us tonight. And that is authorizing the chairman of the Ulster County Legislature to execute a grant in agreement with the Dormitory Authority of New York State.
Stated purposes being late.
Chris, you were kind enough to fill me in on why it's going to be late, so why don't you tell the committee?
Sure. This is a grant that Assemblyman Frank Skartatos got us before he passed. I had advised the legislature about a year and a half ago. We had applied for and received this grant. It took a year and a half to get the actual agreement, and part of the delay in getting it was the passing of Assemblyman Skartatos. We finally tracked down his chief of staff, who was still working until a couple weeks ago, who got the contract to us. So we submitted it to the legislature five days after we got it. So we were trying to sign this agreement for $50,000 in revenue because we're about to finish the project. We're literally going to be done on August 2nd. So we're really trying to execute it before the end of July.
And it sounds like something like this might get lost in the shuffle if you don't collect it in the fall.
Particularly with Daphne, it's been a lot of work for a small portion of the grant. But what this does is it essentially lowers the county's 20% share of that project. And I went looking for this grant because we were slightly over on right-of-way, and now we're slightly under on construction. So it looks like with this grant, we will probably be right on budget or under budget. And we'll know we have one change order yet to do.
Any questions? Thank you, Chris.
This is the trail in the town of Lloyd on Route 299 that we're building to connect the Hudson Valley Rail Trail towards Newport.
So move it.
Thank you, Chris. All in favor? Do we have a second?
Yeah, Jim, second.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Chris.
We're going to 212, setting a public hearing on proposed local law number 16 regarding campaign finance reform in Ulster County.
Does the sponsor want us to vote on this?
Sure. Well, we have a subcommittee meeting on Wednesday.
Dave, what's your question on the subcommittee's progress?
Well, we met.
That's progress.
Well, we decided where we're going to start, and we'll be starting on because there was other meetings going on at the time, so we established timing for the next couple of Wednesdays. The one in August 1st, I think it's August 1st, right, Casey?
Yes.
Yeah, that one will probably be changed. Yeah, because of the opening of the fair.
Dave, is there any common ground between your committee and 212? Or that has yet to be determined?
Well, yeah, there's a lot of common ground.
Is the $200,000 taxpayer money still in there?
That's where we haven't even got to that point.
Yes.
Kathy?
So, Mr. Chairman, I appreciate it. The subcommittee expressed that they would be working from a different draft than the resolution I submitted. So I would like to decline a postponement on this resolution simply to start the clock running in case the two groups can't come together. If there is, you know, good faith effort and there are improvements that I can incorporate into what I've submitted from the work that the chairman of that subcommittee has proposed, I'm happy to do it. But with the statement that they'll be working from a different draft, I feel like I should start the clock so that 3 months down the road, if I do need to ask for a vote on this, we could do it. So if that would be acceptable to committee, that would be what I would propose.
So you're declining, so we're going to postpone it without your permission.
That would be my request. Be a formal.
Well, you enjoyed that, Trace.
Or
yes,
that would be her suggestion.
Yes, if you prefer to vote on it now, that is also fine with me. We'll just proceed.
Make a motion that we postpone it for a month. Second. Without the sponsor's consent.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
I guess it doesn't matter to me one way or the other.
I'll give it to me.
And we'll be working on it. It'll
We're going in 275, amending the rules of order to permit memorializing resolution.
I'll move for discussion.
We had some discussion on this. I had a discussion with Legislator James Maloney in reference to some compromises. I've had discussions with the caucus. And the only thing that we could come up with, I would come up with and he agreed with, would be that all memorializing resolutions would be moved to the end of the packet by rules, not by, in other words, you could do it as the chairman, but it would be part of the rules. It's left at the end of the packet.
James? Maloney? I was just saying if you agreed with that statement.
I was hoping that there would be a little more movement on a compromise, but I fully understand that the Democratic caucus wants to bring them back in full force. I would hope that they, if you look at the sheet that was put together by the legislative clerk staff, many, many counties around them, David, I would ask you to take a look. There must be...
No, I did. Well, I'm one of the people that asked her.
Something that can be done.
Kevin May?
Yes, Kenny.
Yeah, through you to Legislator Donaldson, you said that the only idea that you had that he would agree to was, move him to the end of the meeting. What other...
That was the only thing on the table.
Oh, that was
the only thing that
was after conversations with the caucus. That was what was, the only thing that would be acceptable from that therein.
Was there something else the Republican caucus would like?
I haven't heard anything that would...
A petition of discharge has 8 signatures on it for a resolution to go to the floor. Talk about, one of the ideas that I brought up previously was, requiring that there be 8 sponsors. Another thing I had said that I think met with some criticism or displeasure was that I think that, for memorializing resolutions, you should have one from both sides of the aisle. I think that, I think that memorializing resolutions are designed to be a statement of the body, and I don't know how you can make a statement of the body on a 12-11 vote or failing 11-12. I think that, if something's going to, a perfect example of one that I think that we should be doing right now that we can't because they're completely banned is, opposing the DEC's plan to drain Tilson Lake. I think it's an excellent, and that one would be a resolution that would go to our state representatives to say we do not support this, and I would almost bet that it would pass unanimously.
Would that fall under home rule?
No.
You sure?
Yeah. Because there's no home rule authority on it. The DEC is going to drain the lake because they don't have the money, because they don't want to have the money to fix the dam. I mean, it's more complicated than that, but...
Actually, the Palisades...
Interstate Park Commission. That to me, that's what memorializing resolutions are designed for, is to be a statement of the body. And I don't see how on a 12-11 vote you have a statement of the body. And again, the only reason that I, after opposing the ban many times, the only reason I supported it this last time was because I saw memorializing resolutions being used not as a sense of the body, but to drive a political agenda. And
I'd agree with that, but I think we should have them. And I think a lot of the people that abused them aren't here. I think some of that is... So I had a big...
Well, one of them is...
Go ahead, Dave.
No, he wants to throw me under the bus from something that happened 6 years ago.
I'd like to keep a good relationship with you, Ken. I mean, I keep a good relationship with everybody if I can, but it doesn't mean I will.
No doubt.
The thing is that you were one of them that abused it a long time ago, and then maybe it's been abused by...
Learned my lesson since then, maybe.
Okay, good. I'm glad you did.
Dave, are you talking about the SAFE Act?
That one, I think
he's talking about rock and roll.
Well, and also with the SAFE Act, I think to bring up your member of the caucus brought it up first as a, as a pro-SAFE Act.
That was your predecessor.
Yeah.
So before we go through that history, which might not be beneficial to the work of the body, it'd be nice to be able to vote on this. Could there be a gentlepersons agreement about how we're going to proceed, and then we look to whether or not this
has to be written in the rules? Brian.
Yeah, I concur with the chairman. I think the memorializing resolutions are designed to be a statement of the body. And if you're throwing up a divided statement, it's not a statement of the body. I think, in my view, of looking back through the memorializing resolutions from the previous term, the only one that I saw that made sense to me was when they passed the memorializing resolution when Bel Air was left out of the Governor Cuomo's initial funding for ORTA. And the subsequent, there was a memorializing resolution passed, and the next night, coincidentally, that it was sick, but that was a good memorializing resolution. You know, we're very important here in Ulster County, but we're not exactly the E.F. Hutton of counties in the United States. And I don't think Washington, D.C., Albany, or the United Nations, or anyone else cares about our opinion on the Trans-Pacific Partnership. What has been used, it's been used cynically in the past, it's been weaponized to lock people into positions over which we have no authority in which to legislate here. And I think we should be focused on the work that we're sent here to do for the business, for making Ulster County government better, and not pigeonholing people into locking them into unpopular positions.
Joe and then Jim.
I agree with most of that. I think that memorializing resolutions by definition are to give you the county, the town, with which whoever's putting it up, a voice for your region. It's something that's affecting you regionally, in my opinion, that may not be getting a lot of attention in Albany, and that's how you send that out. Hey, we need some help on this. I thought Indian Point was a memorializing resolution that, whether you agree with it or not, that's the kind of thing. Hey, we're being affected in this region by something that you might not be as concerned with.
Pilgrim Pipeline.
Yeah. A lot of it's environmental. But I think we should have a lot of this. I don't know. I've considered 15 or 16 votes as a minimum to make sure both caucuses are involved, but that's not going to stop somebody from politicizing the process. I would like to see a vote today. I like the idea. I prefer it always to be at the end of the night. I think we're, you know, budget appropriators, and that should be our first line of business. And anything that could take away from that would be a negative for the process. So I like where we're at with at least it going at the end of the night. I'm ready for a vote. If somebody wants to do a last-minute amendment to something that makes sense, but so far no one's come up with anything that solves a couple of these politicizing issues.
Thank you, Joe. Jim?
Dave, I'd like to see something, or just even a mirror of what Dutchess County does. Criteria, at least four sponsors, and must have a direct impact on the county.
I tried to do that originally.
Anything could have a direct effect on the county.
And it's so vague that it, you know,
the words,
everything that's direct.
Be a reminder at the very least, but I was told, I'm speaking out of turn, but I was told that any chairman could then use as an excuse to kill any memorializing resolution for even, they could say, no, it doesn't uniquely affect, that was the terminology I used, uniquely affect Ulster County, because at the very least, they still aren't reminded of what the heck
you said. You know, when you think about it, yes, there's been spurts of where it's been abused, but in most cases, it hasn't really been abused.
Dave, I think, and Joe and Tenny and Jim and whoever else, that the problem wasn't so much the memorializing resolutions. It was the endless debate we had about nothing. And I don't want to say nothing in particular, but we'd like vote on a $15 million bond and not debate it, but then, you know, something about a pipeline that may or may not come down our way, we'd be debating about it for an hour.
So I remember the municipal auditorium.
Yeah. Yes. And we almost started a riot, if I remember right.
I did.
Anyway, how about if we accept memorializing resolutions at the end of the session and not have any debate on them? Everybody knows how we're going to vote. Just have a simple yes or no vote.
We tried that once.
How'd that work out for us?
the members of the Democratic Caucus found a loophole.
What was the loop? Oh, the
long roll and then spending 5 minutes each explaining to folks.
Well, maybe we could work on that too. But
I'll throw this on the table. I truly believe that, you know, something like 2/3 or 15 votes or something like that is the best way to go. But I mean, I'm willing to go as low as 12 co-sponsors, a majority of the body. So you should at least have a majority of the body co-sponsoring something before it moves forward to the floor. That's, you know, to me, and I'll even leave out that one should be from the other side, although I think that there should be some bipartisanship with these memorializing resolutions.
They only require 4 sponsors.
So it has to affect the
county. That just also requires a fiscal impact, I believe, right?
Yeah, you have to provide a financial impact.
Has to financially impact the county.
The county, not the county resident.
Everything does in some way or form.
The couple of the ones that were the straw that broke the camel's back for me did not.
Yeah,
I mean,
A lot of them are permitted, no restrictions, permitted, no restrictions. Some they claim that they are infrequently generally directed, but they're generally down. Floor debate is rare.
What about something like that?
We'd be right
it's by a committee. They're far and few between, they're saying.
I mean, I just can't support it as is. But I'm open to compromise. I've thrown out several over. I've thrown out several. I haven't heard any from the other side of this that, you know, other than moving to the end of the meeting, which is where they were already. So.
Yeah. I mean, not to harp on it, because I think Ken, you know, we've spoken about it before, but the concept of making it about germane to Ulster County, I think, is a non-starter, just in that it can be abused and that it is still subjective, and a stretch in interpretation could push it really either way.
Well, and as chairman, I wouldn't want that responsibility to decide what's germane and what's not.
To the majority number, I mean, my concern... I appreciate what you're saying about what it should be in an ideal circumstance, but in a political world, sometimes what this has been is the voice for a concerned, sometimes even a concerned minority out in our communities. You know, people who we're giving, through memorializing resolutions, sometimes we're giving voice to a group in the community who comes and speaks, and that's what's frustrating to some legislators sitting and hearing the same people say the same thing over and over. But I think it's also really one of the most important things that we do. I think if you limit it to 12, to a majority of legislators, or even 15, that's just way too high to me, then you're predisposing that it's the voice of the majority, which is what you're saying. You want consensus, but I think it's imperfect. I mean, I feel like memorializing resolutions are imperfect. Sometimes they get misused, but oftentimes, you remember when we have these debates that are frustrating, the press sees it, the public sees it. I've had more calls on memorializing resolutions sometimes than any other things, depending on the week and the month. So. I think it's tough, and I can hear both sides, but I definitely don't want to see it be a majority putting it to the floor.
Thank you, Tracy. Joe?
I will say that there's times that that we're voting on things that are huge to the budget, mm-hmm. and we're having real debate, but because of the attention that some of these memorializing resolutions get, you'll open up the paper, and that's what moves the hands of justice and everything else, is public outcry. Mm-hmm. And what they're seeing is memorializing resolutions that have nothing to do with Ulster County or county legislators, and can't do anything about it. So there's even more negatives attached to those positives that mm-hmm. come out of it. What about
It's at the end of the night, which it was already, but now it's mandatory. What if we did a four? They're coming back one way or another. Whether we kick this down the road at, or at another month or two, they're going to be back. What if we do a four? I'd be okay with a four sponsors. Dave?
No, the
one thing.
I don't know if anything's going to solve them. They're coming back. Duchess seems to think that they can put the wording in there that kind of
I don't think that wording.
They also must provide a financial impact statement.
That I don't agree with, but I understand they obviously had some of the same issues we were having. Dave, what do you think?
Trying not to.
You're thinking, Dave, on a call on Brian.
Yeah, what are we accomplishing? If we're having people come out to speak on items over which we have no authority to legislate, at the end of the day, if a memorializing resolution is passed and it gets shoved in some file drawer somewhere, what ultimately it was accomplished to advance a cause? You know, you've taken people and you've given them this, you've probably distracted them from talking and speaking to avenues of where actually something could be accomplished for the cause they care so much about. But you come here to speak passionately on a cause over which we have no authority to legislate. I don't see where anything's been accomplished. I don't know how it has made Ulster County's local government any better.
Thank you, Brian. Kathy?
Yeah, I think that it's only a few of the memorializing resolutions that I remember that I would put in that category. I think it does make a difference that Ulster County took a position on the Pilgrim pipelines. It certainly made a difference that Ulster County took a position on fracking. When we got all of the counties across New York State to do that, it was actually cited by the DEC commissioner as one of the factors that was going to lead to not issuing permits. Just had one of my constituents send me the memorializing resolution on asking the for a build-out of fiber optics in Ulster County from 2014. These are things that may not, the passing of the resolution may not immediately result in the impact, but it is a causal factor. It educates the public, it educates the legislators, and if we look for it to do that, then I think we should have them. I'm open to the idea of a small number of sponsors, so that it's not just one person with an idea driving the whole body to a discussion. But I'm not sure that it's worth the hassle of getting the three signatures, because you know one person can usually do that, or four or five. So I think it has to be based on the members of the body taking the responsibility to use it for things that will benefit the community. And I believe that discussions of the Affordable Care Act were important for this community to have. I think that it is of use to talk about things that people in our community care about, even if we can't directly fix it for them.
Brian and Kenny.
I'll just say one last thing. We have memorializing letters. We've signed them, a lot of them, I think four this year so far. And I think they're a very effective tool, and they're a consensus builder, and rather than a divider. And I just, you know, if we could discuss the merits of the Affordable Care Act all we want, but I'm presuming that the public has no other avenue to discuss those things, and they certainly do. And I don't think it's germane. If it's not germane to making our Ulster County government better, it isn't something that should be on our agenda in the meeting.
Kenny, and then we'll wrap this up.
Thanks. You know, just to points that were made by, I think, Tracy earlier and possibly by Kathy, and I think a little by Joe, you know, we already have avenues for people to push, you know, put forward the minority opinion, as Brian said, with the letters, because you can send a letter all by yourself, or you can have four legislators sign on, or you can have 23 sign on. And I think that we've had instances of both of those. A lot of the resolutions that you were naming, Kathy, are resolutions that were passed unanimously or nearly unanimously and wouldn't have a problem getting four sponsors or 12 sponsors or 23 sponsors. you know, we're not focusing on, you know, the kind of issues or the kind of memorializing resolutions that would cause someone to think that we might need to have some sort of a minimum sponsorship or some sort of mechanism to weed out what are purely political resolutions. I mean, transparently purely political resolutions. When they're coming out right before election time or in the same year as election time or around a hot button issue that people are all riled up about. And also, you know, memorializing resolutions aren't what give people the authority to come or the ability to come and voice their opinion here, because we have unrestricted public comment, as will be evidenced tomorrow night by the Catskill Mountain Railroad folks once again coming out to talk against the trail around the Ashokan Reservoir. That bring the folks from Stone Ridge in to talk about the fire training center, that bring any of the 50 Filgrary in to talk about, you know, sustainable food and clove cigarettes. Memorializing resolutions might rile up the, you know, people to want to come and speak, but I mean, we could do that ourselves without resolutions. We could call people and get people to come out and speak their mind on issues of importance without pigeonholing legislators into a vote or a possibly unpopular vote on something that we've got no control over. That's my concern with them coming back, you know, unabated, without, you know, with no restrictions whatsoever. I think that, you know, self-policing sounds great until you get one or two people who go rogue and start putting in a lot of resolutions, which was the case when the ban came forward, and which is the reason I changed my vote after having voted against banning them so many times. You know, because Rich Parody brought it up probably five times since I was a legislator. And I voted against it four times, or however many before the one time that, you know, sort of, you know, it sort of hit a boiling point. I just think, you know, I think there has to be a solution that everyone can agree to, or at least that most of us could agree to. I don't know what it is. I mean, four sponsors, I could support that, but I could only support something as small, as low as four sponsors if one was required from each caucus. Because then, you know, then you're getting a bipartisan buy-in, and I think that these resolutions should be about bipartisanship. I think that's what the people are looking for from us.
I really have to think about it. It's not, I mean, I definitely was coming at it from a different angle. Just, I mean, I hear what you're saying in terms of people misusing it, and I felt that. I mean, I was there for some of, you know, what Dave cites and what you brought up.
I know.
You know what I mean? That is the memorializing resolution that got more people out than any single resolution.
I want to echo Kevin's point that ours was in response to one that came up before that.
I had forgotten the one before that. But, I also, you know, I mean, I have the power of my own conviction, and, you know, I'm willing to stand behind my vote on whatever, you know, whatever issue. It's, you know, even when it feels unfair and it's being brought up for purely political reasons, which are very transparent. I mean, I think what you're articulating is a whole different approach to memorializing resolutions, honestly, than I haven't thought about them as consensus builders. And I'm not saying it's giving me food for thought, because I never really thought about it in that realm.
Sounds like Legislator Bartels is making a motion to postpone.
She's not on the committee.
No, I can't. I'm not on the committee.
Well, she's advising us to.
I mean, think about it this way. If I could, Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
This is the way I think about it. You know, a state legislator. Imagine it as a letter and not a resolution, or imagine it as a petition and not a resolution. Mm-hmm. Is the state legislator going to give more credence to something that was that was signed by five people on the legislature, or signed by 12 people on the legislature, or signed by 23 members, the entire body?
I think a resolution must have more impact. Something that's passed by the body.
No, but what I'm saying is, you know, if they then go back and look and see that
it's the public.
Yeah.
If a memorializing resolution gets more coverage,
they notice
and
that
more people talking about it, that's what drives.
Yeah.
I'm just saying when
politician to do something, and that's what a memorializing resolution does more so than a letter.
If, but if, no, I'm just I'm saying imagine
imagine the letter. I'm saying about a resolution. Let's say the state legislator looks at the resolution and says, "Oh, it passed 12-11." Mm-hmm. Well, what do they want? You know, almost one less than half of the body voted against it.
They could care less what we think. It really is the people. That
yeah,
we're,
I really
worried
think
about
it's the
public.
People. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know.
I see what you're saying, and I mean I this goes back and forth in my mind, but the idea is I also believe, like Tracy says, I'll stand up, I'll vote on anything. If it comes before me, I'm not going to worry about being embarrassed. I mean, if you remember correctly, I was one out of 33 that voted, if you weren't here, one out of 33 that voted against the idea of making burning the flag against the Constitution. So,
the month before I joined the legislature, this legislative body voted to support articles of impeachment against the president.
Right, and they should have. but that's besides the point.
But do you think the Speaker of the House is waiting for our input on it?
Probably not, but my constituents are. The thing is that I still understand where you're coming from. There should be if you did four, then it would be four with somebody from the other side, but then if you don't have somebody from the other side, then the number goes up to eight or something like that. That might be, I don't know if people would think about it.
Complicated.
My mindset is I don't, in other words, I agree that just because somebody keeps throwing things out, that, these memorializing resolutions out and just creating things to divide is not necessarily good. Because sometimes it is. It's meant for that, as you point out. Most of the time, I don't believe it is. I mean, we're meant to take a stand on something. That's what we're attempting to do.
Go ahead. Sorry.
What if we bring them back, and with a small caveat, the four, it's got to be four sponsors. It's going to be at the end of the night the way it was. Some of the individuals that had brought you, in particular, Ken, to the point of no return on them are now not here. If it doesn't work out, it just takes 12 votes, which will happen again. If this gets out of control again, I don't think you won't have a problem getting my vote to take them back away, because I agreed when you took them away, and now I want to bring them back and see if this legislative body can handle it the same way the county's legislative bodies can. But I mean, we could always go for it and pull them right back off if it gets crazy and takes away from our real jobs.
I like Dave's recommendation, 3-1 and 8. I mean, that seems fair.
That wasn't a recommendation. It was a thought.
It sounded like it, didn't it?
Like a motion.
That's something I could support, really. I mean, what?
It was a thought pattern that I had. I was thinking about that.
But I mean, that's something. If we want to, we can postpone it for one more month and then go back to the caucus and see if that's something like that, would be acceptable. I mean, I don't know.
Well, it's up to you. I'll vote no on the postponement, but that's okay.
I would like to see you guys vote on it. Yeah.
We should pass something.
Yeah. Or nothing.
I mean, as a committee, can we go with what your line of thought? We won't call it your proposal?
No.
You can't support
it's
that?
It's not my proposal, no. I thought it was a line of thought that maybe if we had some more discussion on it, possibly.
Could that be amended on the floor if he has cold feet? Probably he would. I think people will find this reasonable.
It could be amended on the floor if he has cold feet.
Dave, would that mind?
I don't know.
I mean, you're the sponsor. You're the only one who has to agree to it, I think, right?
If Dave is on there as a sponsor.
Oh, he is, yep.
We're both sponsors.
Whose name is first?
Dave.
D comes before M, right?
Well, let's take
I mean, you can vote no on the amendment and still consent that we can make the amendment.
Oh, gosh, don't do that. That's crazy.
What do you think, Jonathan?
I mean, obviously, I support it as is, but I am willing to discuss it as a caucus, of course.
And what do you think, Trace?
Yeah, I feel exactly the same as Jonathan. I mean, I think
So in that case,
honest,
we would have to postpone it.
I'd be
in that case, we'd have to postpone it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the one thing I would say is if you postpone it, you should do it in the way you did with Kathy, without consent, just so that a clock starts, because we've been talking about
that. I don't think that they consented to the postponement the last 2 months, or the last month.
Right?
Oh.
So yeah, no, we don't.
The clock is going. This is the second month of three.
Yeah. Okay, good. Yeah, then we're not going to...
I'd rather vote on it, but if they postpone it, they postpone it.
But what do you want to vote on it, as is?
I would most likely vote on it as is, yeah.
And then we could put that up as an amendment and see. I mean, I'll tell you right now, I'd vote for it. I'm a yes on the amendment.
But it seems clear that if you vote for it as is, it's going to fail, and then you'd have to petition to discharge the amendment. I mean, I'm not speaking on term, but just hearing what people's responses are, that's what's going to happen.
Yeah,
so.
That would be like a...
Unless Dave let us amend it that way tonight and we could move forward.
No.
Or Ken, you are confident in your entire caucus being on the same page with you.
And long as,
and trust me,
long as all of them come. I mean, there's a lot of ifs there, you know what I mean?
It's up to you. I mean, if
somebody gets a flat tire and all of a sudden it fails.
Dave, you're on the committee. It's up to you, buddy. I don't mind it. I think it's reasonable.
Well, I don't know. I think I prefer it as it is, but if you want to amend it on the floor... I mean,
For it to get to the floor, it has to go there as is, which is something I don't think that we're... I don't think it's a risk I'd be willing to take in order to make a vote right now. That's my thing.
Then it'll be brought by petition of discharge.
Or
it could be postponed.
Yeah, we're another month, and then we're...
Is there any memorializing resolution that people know of that is urgent that we would need to address this month?
Well, we wouldn't be able to address it this month anyway. It's a rules change. It takes 2 months to do.
Yeah.
So 2 months, in the next 2 months? Yeah.
What does anybody have in mind?
You would follow through in the same way you do now with the letter.
Thank you.
Sarah's the group. Wilson Lake is
the last one.
I don't know. Tracy gave me marching orders, so I'm going to do
it. No, I did.
I was
just
doing
it. Yeah.
And her staff.
Will you folks bring that idea to the caucus? The four.
I think we're going to have to do it that man in that manner. Then, I mean, it's probably the best way to do it.
Motion to postpone.
So moved.
But not with your consent.
So
the clock's already gone.
All in favor of postponement?
Aye. Frustratingly, aye.
You voting for postponement? Are you voting yes on the postponement?
No, I mean,
yeah, there are no on postponement.
282. Adopting proposed local law. Or 281. 281, I'm sorry. Establishing a policy to prohibit the use of public funds to place the likeness or name of elected officials on all promotional or informational signage on county-owned property.
All right, as a point of information, this has been done a number of places, and it's been done by mostly executive order, but it has been done in other places by not only county executives, I believe a couple governors have done this. But having said that, municipalities have done it, but I believe a couple governors have done the same thing.
Certainly not this one.
No, certainly not this one. And certainly not this county executive either. The point is that I would prefer, actually, I'll ask you to have this particular one postponed at this point because... I want to look at a few things because there were some questions that came up, and I want people to take a look at those and have anybody that has any questions about concerns because they're, at the same time, I don't want it to create a situation where you can't go in and can't be listed because you're going to speak before somebody at a particular time, and you're letting them out as a notice, like an informational type of meeting, and they're going to be there. That could be an issue. I don't know, but I would look at researching a few of the places that have already done that to find out what any problems that may have arisen from it.
Is that a motion to postpone?
Yes.
All in favor?
I'll second the motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? 282. Adopting proposed local law number 5, amending Ulster County Charter, local law number 2 of 06, and amending the administrative code.
I'll move it.
Second it. This did pass Ways and Means, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it had to have, too.
Yeah, yeah. Pathways and Means, and it's basically a clarification, making more transparent budgeting.
So, referendum, I say send it to the voters.
Yep, referendum goes to the voters.
Anybody else? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
2. I think I was the deciding vote there, Legislator Donaldson, in Ways and Means.
I think you were. Which is funny. Charentine argued with me that they couldn't do that when they did it.
We're going to 283. Adopting proposed local law number 10 of 2018, a local law promoting the use of reusable bags and regulating the use of plastic carryout bags and recyclable paper carryout bags. That's a lot for one. One law.
I'll move for discussion.
Second.
Well, Ken, you started it. Go ahead.
Thanks. You know, I respect the. That's all right.
That's a plastic.
It is. It's not styrofoam. I respect the intent behind the law, but I mean there's a couple of concerning pieces for me. The first concerning piece is the fee on paper bags. I understand the virtue of eliminating plastic bags. I don't agree with it, but I understand it. I don't agree at all or understand the virtue of charging for paper bags at the store. Everybody has forgot. I have reusable bags at home. My wife and I use them over the weekend. But sometimes we'll be on our way to or from someplace and we won't have our reusable bags. So then we'll have to use whatever bags are available. I always take my plastic bags and I either bring them to the farm that we belong to as CSA members or use them as bathroom garbages. I don't just take the plastic bags and throw them away, or as some of our speakers at public hearing allege, just throw them outside onto the street so they can become urban tumbleweeds. I feel like I could support this law absent the fee on the paper bags, and if we allowed for the use of compostable or biodegradable plastic bags, like plastic-like bags.
I think Tracy had her hand up first. Am I correct?
Okay.
All right.
I can kind of speak to the concerns, and
I've just been reminded by the deputy chair. He's on the committee, and he's
okay.
Speaks.
But I mean, I don't care if he speaks, but normally you let the committee.
Oh, yeah, that's fine.
No, that's okay.
First.
But I don't want to
thank you for reminding me of protocol.
The point is what I understand where you're coming from, but the fee, if you don't have the fee on paper bags, then everybody will just see you say, well, I want paper bags. And so then we just cut down all how many trees then? You're just be cutting more trees down. So you're taking one disposable and switching it with another disposable. So it's not solving the problem at all. And I think we really need to start rethinking how we buy products, no matter what. I mean, we got to start even going much further than this. I mean, people going out buying little plastic bottles of shampoo on a regular basis and things like that. We really need to start thinking about those things. This is a one step, and I think it makes sense. Other people, this is not new. It's happening in many places throughout the country. They've been doing it in Europe for as long as, who knows, probably as long as you've been alive.
I doubt it, but I appreciate that.
They've been doing that for a very long time.
Maybe as long as Jonathan's been alive, but...
Well, I don't know. And I think it was... I don't know how old you again. I don't know how old you are, so I couldn't tell you. But the point is that, you know, we've worked through this thing, and it makes sense. It's time to do it. Others are doing it, and I think we'll blend right in. People will learn how to deal with it. And I, like you, reuse the bag. I use it for trash. I use it. I may wrap clothes if I'm donating. I'll throw in something like a couple little bags like that. Whatever I'm doing, you know, I use those things again, but that doesn't make it right when you can actually just, you know, and I'm bad at remembering the damn bag. So I'll be somebody that'll probably end up buying a bag because I always grab a couple cardboard boxes or something when I go in because I'll forget the bag. So it'll help me remember.
Thank you, Dave.
That's why I'm doing it. Just help me remember.
Thank you, Dave. I'm going to go to Jim Maloney, and then we could bounce around the outside.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I want to thank Legislator Bartels for coming tonight. I know this is very, very important. This is a major problem. Everyone, I think, is aware of that. But I've read this law more in the last 2 weeks and been online and read this thing about 3 times, you know, back and forth. But I have a couple questions. The way this is written, if I'm a business right now and I only use paper bags, do I have to start charging a nickel? So when I go up to Legislator Hefner's district and walk through, you know, and my wife buys a little gift for someone and they put it in a lovely little silver bag with a ribbon, that's a paper bag.
No, not the silver bag with the ribbon. It's a point of sale bag. So it's only the bag that the purchases go in. If it's a little gift wrap bag, no. Just like the bags that are when you go are in a supermarket and you get 6 apples and you put them in a bag, those
right,
bags aren't.
When you say a point of sale, I go into what's the shop up there?
When you actually check out.
Woodstock Chimes.
Woodstock Chimes. You get a point of sale. But no.
You mean when you pay the bag?
No, a decorative bag for a gift. You put the gift right in
that
it.
With
a gift in it. You go to a shop.
Yeah. And they're essentially gift wrapping into a bag.
Into a bag. No. Is that a bag? No. Well, I think you need to clarify
if
it's
bag.
Yeah, but if this bag that Jim's talking about is provided at point of sale.
That's a point of sale bag. It's not a gift bag. It's part of the way they wrapped it.
In other words, it's the delivery.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, wait a second. I have questions.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
He's right.
In therefore, the purpose local law to encourage page 3. Place on recycled bags and certain other plastic bags. What other certain plastic other plastic bags are we talking about? See, here's my thing. You go to Kohl's. You have a young daughter. Sooner, you know.
I'll tell you what the other plastic. I can answer the question for you.
You're talking about Hannaford. You're talking about Lowe's.
No, I can answer the certain other plastic bags.
Okay.
Questions. So, because people use it as a loophole. It require, for example, reusable plastic bags that are truly multi-use, like those very heavyweight woven ones with the canvas handles. I wish I had one with me, but that supermarkets sell for $1.
Right.
This is saying you can't give them away. You have to charge for them.
Okay, but
they are technically plastic. They exceed the ML limit. That's the law defines.
But my question is when someone goes to, say, Kohl's and buys pillows or a comforter and they put them in a larger bag,
mm-hmm.
If you exclude that bag, how do they get the stuff home?
Well, it's been very well studied in communities across the nation, and people start bringing their own bags. People do make a change.
You can't put... I'm sorry.
Somehow you're supposed to bring a bag that a pillow will fit into?
You just hold it under your arm. People make it.
Put it in
the
car and bring it out to your car.
And it's raining or snowing.
Do in other places.
Yeah, I mean, there's always going to be a difficult circumstance or an unusual, you know, it's pouring rain, whatever. But people make a change. I mean, we're not the first ones doing this. And this is the model we hope that the whole state's going to follow. I mean, it's certainly the one that all the environmental community is pushing for. But in California, this is essentially the law of the state. So people make adjustments.
Going back to the definition of a covered store, mm-hmm. It includes food, farmers markets. Mm-hmm.
typically, and there's 7 or 8 farmers markets in Ulster County. Thank you to the Middletown Record for the nice article the other day. But they don't have cash registers. So how is the knit? They're going to do away with the plastic, go with paper, or you bring your own. But if they have to go with paper, they have to print it on a receipt, which they don't have a register to do that.
They just write it down.
Right, but the way the law is written, it has to be printed on a receipt.
Yeah, but anyone who's doing a hand sale could write a receipt. I mean, if I'm at a farmer's market and I want 2 pounds of potatoes, but I want a receipt, they're going to write it down on a piece of paper for me.
You do know Governor Cuomo, he came out and said charging a nickel and giving it to the businesses is absurd.
Yes, but can I qualify that? Because what he was speaking to was charging a nickel for plastic bags, because it was a 600% markup. We're not charging a nickel for plastic bags.
No, we're going to charge
for paper.
For paper, because you're taking away the plastic. You want people to use
paper.
Right,
but he was speaking to a 5-cent charge on the very thin plastic bags, which cost a fraction of a penny. So he was speaking to a legislative forced profit. But that's not the case here. This has been edited.
But the purpose of the 5 cents is not to encourage people to use paper.
Yeah.
It's to encourage them to bring a reusable.
Right. I do want to speak to Ken's comments.
I understand that, but from my standpoint, when you have a Walmart, a Lowe's, a Home Depot, a Hannaford, a ShopRite, and God knows what other small stores, okay, it's clear to me, I'm not going to tax people into submission. And to me, the nickel is nothing more than a tax. When their store gets it, they can't give a coupon back to the people. Why in here can you only, they can only give us a bag, five, bottom of five. Why can they only give their reusable bags free of charge for a 2-week period in April?
Because without that...
First day.
Yeah, because without the 13 members of the legislature got together and they chose April. But without, if you allow stores to give away bags free at any time, certain stores, and this was seen in the Chicago experiment and other markets, they use it as a loophole to give away bags year round.
But I think his question is, why can't they give them year round?
Because then it's a loophole around the law. Then they're giving away.
They're never
going to
bring their bag,
and we end up
you're never
creating
to
more
achieve
plastic
the greatest
waste.
Goal of people bringing.
Right. The point is that
and we end up
you
creating
give them
more
that,
plastic waste.
And you give
in Chicago.
You give them that week to actually give away if they want their bags with their names on them, so they can reuse them as a promotional
effort.
Education.
And they don't have to do it. It's just allowing a time period to have the promotion.
That,
and the education
that
period.
In there is a result of.
Chicago.
Many, a couple of
this
places.
This happens, I'm giving out the campaign.
You know,
the
total
campaign.
Yes. If you don't have it, it's going
to
be.
No, they're not that cheap.
In Chicago, they had a terrible experience on their
first you're going to buy,
you
still pay at least $1 a piece.
I can't support this with the fee in it, Tracy. I wish there was more. I wish the county would get involved. If the county wants to go in this, we should go in this direction. They should be giving out the bags, making a statement. You know, from what I understand, and I don't mean to put you on the spot, Legislator Waltman, but you had mentioned to me that this is the people on food stamps.
I'll let you talk about that.
But, you know, this is going to affect and hurt the lowest people in the socioeconomic groups.
I'm going to go with Joan and Tracy.
That's a point that's been brought up before. Look, a couple of these points are there's nothing that's perfect. And if we're going to have an honest conversation about where we're going to be in 30, 40, 50 years, I mean, I put a garbage pail out in front of my driveway along with every other person in this county. I mean, when you look at the population and where we're going, Seneca's closing. There's actually a monetary savings here. Tim Rose speaks to what plastic bags shuts down his machine several days. There's another good reason for it. When you talk about low-income individuals being affected, there's an aspect of that when I hear people talk about it, it's almost like we're assuming that if you have low income that you can't remember your reusable canvas bag, or you can't be inconvenienced. If I don't want, whether the 10 or 20 cents is going to kill me or not, I can put the stuff, and I do that when I forget my bags at times. I put them in the cart, and I load it into my car. If you're taking the bus, remember your canvas bag, and I don't like the idea of somebody paying an extra nickel or 10 cents either. But if that's the reason, we're gonna kick this can down the road, and we're gonna keep burying and burning things that don't need to be. I just think we're crazy. A lot of the stuff that raises eyebrows in this law, to a certain extent, why this or why that, I had some of the same questions, and what I found out through all these different meetings was there's so much data. We're not even the first ones to be doing this locally. It's been done even inside this county. It's been done around this county. It's been done around the country. And we have so much data that tells us you kind of got to do this, and this is why. One of those things is the fee. And it's actually could be potentially worse on the environment. This paper is so much thicker, even though it's recyclable. When the paper ends up being better, it's just as bad as the plastic. There's a leachable aspect to it. So you have to have that built-in deterrent to paper as well. And I think, I just feel like no matter what side of the aisle you fall on, we have to take a look at how much we are burying and burning in this world. And it can't continue. And a lot of this stuff has to be, we can do straws and we will, and things like that, plastic bags. The state and the federal government are going to have to step in on some of this stuff. I'd like to see us raise the rates. That's another conversation at the RRA, because we can't be subsidizing, making it easier. We have to start deterring how much we're producing. But to me, this makes so much sense, and a lot of work went into it. We had a couple of experts there that knew the history of all these other areas that have done it, and I feel really good about how this is written.
Mr. Hefner.
Yeah, I mean, I would just kind of echo what Legislator Maloney said.
Which one?
I was on Environment and Energy last term, and, you know, that's this conversation, we spoke, you know, extensively about this, and we had lots of different experts come in, and there really is a strong sense of research and data out there that really... We brought up all these questions, what a fee versus no fee, what's the impact on those, you know, through EBT, and what's the effect on senior. We went through, and this has been done so many times and tested. They've had scenarios where there's no fee. They've had scenarios where there was fees. The fee was the most effective, and it was proven. So, I mean, I think, you know, I really strongly encourage
this.
Which one's that?
Yeah.
You know, and that's why I feel very strongly about this, because I know how much research went into it and how much discussion between Democrats and Republicans alike has gone on in environment and energy with experts who do this. This is their lives every day advocating this issue.
Sure.
Just a question, Tracy, and I just want to get a clarification. Back in May, this resolution was amended, because it was funny, when I downloaded it off, it was after somehow it still was on the website, the original version, it was amended in May to exclude the restaurants and food service.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know how many properties that encompasses countywide? Snack bars, diners, restaurants, bars that serve food?
Hundreds. Yeah.
226.
Wow, I'm surprised. I would think it's even more.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I thought
not when you, just use five property classes.
Yeah, I can speak to that too. Yeah, are you asking me a question?
No. I just wanted to know why would you take out 226?
Do you want to know? So you're asking. Okay, I can answer that question. So, and as Jonathan said, everything that's been brought up was debated in great detail with a bipartisan group around the table as big as 13 people, and we talked about all these issues. On that issue, we went back and forth about whether to exempt restaurants and the like. In most markets, in most places where the law exists across the country, restaurants are exempted in large part because takeout can be wet, and if it's in a paper bag, the bag can break. It was a compromise. I was one of the people that didn't want to see it exempted, but Joe didn't want it in, but everyone at the table, we went with the most votes, and the most votes at the table wanted to exempt the restaurants.
But see, here's my thing.
It was also, let me just say, it was also discussed that the volume of plastic bags going out of, because these are restaurants where if they're doing a certain to-go market or it's leftovers that people are leaving with, the volume was a small portion. Our experts who came to the meeting said it's a small portion, and again, it exists in almost all the markets across the country that have the law in effect, in whatever form.
Right, but see, here's my... Adams just spent millions of dollars doing an addition last year for hot food, everything. So did ShopRite, just opened a month ago. Okay? Jolly Cow, right next door. They can give you a plastic bag for your hot dogs. But in Adams?
Well, only if your hot dogs are prepared to eat, not a container of hot dogs.
Understood.
The Jolly Cow doesn't sell hot dog containers.
Okay. I don't know.
It's an ice cream cow.
Okay.
But you go to the Jolly Cow and you can get a plastic bag. I walk in and get 6 chicken wings at Adams to take out. And I can't. It's not fair.
Well, yeah, but the volume that Adams has is
unbelievable compared to the Jolly Cow. Come on, you can't compare.
But it's still going to be in a container.
Yeah.
So why do you can carry the container?
Not a styrofoam one.
But not a styrofoam one? Because when you go there to the hot section, they have, actually I think they even use environmentally recyclable. They don't use the tin, they use the cardboard.
Okay.
Yeah.
Environment.
And you put...
Jim, let's
combine
this.
Can we get the Brian speaks?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm on the environment on the committee, and we worked hard on this, and I do support the law in many ways. In the intervening week time since our last meeting, though, I have had a chance to reach out to some people who live in my community. One thing I have to always keep in mind, the district I represent has the largest amount of public housing of any district in the entire county. So that's an important constituency, and I felt I needed to take the time to chat with these folks and see how they could be impacted. The two concerns I got back more often than any other were, one, they're looking for more transition time for this law to take effect. Tracy and I have spoken about it, and I don't know if we're considering amending that.
Yeah.
Ken Ron, okay, so that's fine. That meets that criteria. But what they're also concerned, and I hate to go back to it, but it's the 5-cent fee. It was viewed widely in the district as being very regressive, as a regressive tax. And interestingly enough, SNAP benefits will cover the cost of the bags. WIC benefits will not cover the cost of the bags. And that was a concern to a lot of the people I spoke with. They also are the higher percentage probably of almost any residents in the county, most reliant on public transportation or walking to the markets. And they felt that wasn't taken into consideration. It's one thing, you know, we can easily say we could schlep something out to our car from the store, whether it's a big item that we bought, or we can bring our bags with us, leave them in the trunk of our car. For the people in the district I represent, that simply is not an option. Okay, and they also need to, a lot of them, when they want to go shopping, if they need to go out back to school shopping to get closer to their children, they need, particularly in the Roundup Garden section, they need to take the bus uptown, wait there at Hannaford, then get a transfer back out to where they, if they want to go to Kohl's, Burlington, or any of those shops. And it's, one thing that was repeated to me was, plastic bags is harmless, and this is again, I'm not making a case for plastic bags, but they do distribute the weight of what they're carrying easier than the reusable totes or even paper bags for that matter. That they're able to carry more at a time than they otherwise can. So for a lot of us who have the ability to go home and make multiple trips in and out of the car to carry our groceries or items that we purchase into our homes, we need to keep into account the folks that don't have that option. But the two things, and then the other thing they were looking for is community outreach. They would like to see community outreach from the county, and they'd also like to see a supply of reusable bags up front and distributed widely if that at all possible. But the two things most of all was a long transition period and the aggressive nature of the fee for the
Thank you, Brian. David and Tracy.
I agree that you can't get as much in a paper bag technically and carry it, but the reusable bags that you bring your own bag, you can carry a lot more in those than you can in a plastic bag. I've done it repeatedly.
It's not so much the volume of what you can carry, it's the way the bags distribute the weight.
A canvas bag will handle a lot more weight and a lot more items than any plastic, unless you've got the real thick plastic bag. And I think Joe Maloney hit the nail on the head a little bit. Everybody, no matter who they are, is going to have to be a little more responsible. And I don't think just because you're in a lower socioeconomic background means that you can't be can't bring your own bag, because there are a lot of them out there. You can get them, not that they're not that difficult to get, because a lot of people give them out in various. And once this thing gets kicking in, a lot more people will be giving them out, because it's just going to happen. So in reality, if they got on the bus, they would be a lot better off with a canvas bag, because it's not going to be, the canvas bags stay closed a little better. You won't have the can rolling down the middle of the aisle, because it's going to be a little more secure. So I don't really think that it's going to affect, people. They're going to know better. They're going to say, well, I'm going to have to bring my own bag. They'll get aggravated the first couple times they go, maybe, but I don't see that as some kind of a way that next thing you know they're gonna have to give up their dental care over because they gotta go buy bags. I mean, you're pushing it to a point where it's not real. And if you go out, bring up California where it's been for a while, I've been out there 3 times in the past few years. And guess what the homeless people have? They have a lot of nice bring-your-own-bags. They pick them up at different... And if you want to know where, in California, there's a lot of homeless because of the weather there. I mean, you can't... If you want to be homeless, it's the best place in the world to be homeless. And I look at it. Anywhere from San Diego to San Francisco. I mean, that's reality. I mean, the temperature is...
Perfect.
Media.
Florida's nice.
Florida's too damn hot in summer. Well, I mean, I'm not trying to make a joke out of this, but the point is they, you'll see they all have bags. They all have recyclable bags. You bring your own bag style thing. And you see people's, you also see like some candidates' names on the side of those, because people do them. I have a few of them because I picked them up when I was out there.
Homeless don't vote.
With candidates.
Tracy.
There was a dangling modifier there. Do you have homeless at your home that you picked up in California or bags?
So, yes, I mean, I really appreciate all the comments, and I appreciate all the hard work that's gone into this, because it has been a long and very collaborative effort, and we have worked with a lot of these issues. I want to go back to Ken's earlier comment about the fee, which has come up a couple times, both as describing it as a regressive tax and you saying you can't support it with the fee. Without the fee, what happens, as was stated earlier, is the transition goes immediately to whatever's available free. And the use of paper bags would largely reach the previous use of plastic bags. And paper bags, so what the fee does is, one, it encourages the change of habit, and two, it helps to protect the businesses in that transitional period. Because if there were no fee, the businesses, and we've seen this happen, the small businesses eat the difference to keep up with the big businesses who just give away the paper bags. So now you imagine all those moms and pops that we talk about, those moms and pops now have to buy hundreds more paper bags to offset the difference of the plastic that they can no longer use, which is why the only alternative model is the fee on everything, which is what Dave first put in, but did not have enough traction with enough of the members. So, we've worked all through this to Brian's earlier point in terms of the effective date. I'm working with the executive's office to try to determine where that date is gonna land. I've said to the Environment Committee to expect that there's going to be a change in terms of the effective date, but I'm not sure whether it's going to be a year from signage or, so, you know, 3 or 4 months out from April, but most certainly doesn't look like it's going to stay at April in order to allow for more time in terms of not just the rollout, but the education component. I've spoken somewhat with the executive's office about providing bags. They've talked about a desire to provide bags, on a fairly large scale, which is something that, you know, we're going to need to have this time for outreach. So, and I think we expect, you know, in the Environment Committee, we talked about some of the not-for-profits, ideally reaching out to some of the not-for-profits to help partner with getting bags out, because a lot of people want to see this happen. You know, Jordan Christensen, who's been working with us for 3 years, in her comments last month, you know, said really that this is the model that the environmental committees across the state, they're advocating for at the state level. So they really want to see this happen. Ulster can be the one to set the tone for ideally what's eventually going to be a statewide legislation. I mean, we know that Governor Cuomo wants something to happen. It's just what he proposed does not right now have the support of the environmental community.
Actually, I have a question.
Go ahead, Heidi.
And I appreciate all the work and effort that's gone into it. I was fortunate enough to attend a couple of those meetings. They were very informative. But the one thing that just dawned on me the other day, I was in Walmart, and they have the big turnstile, and, you know, the cashier, which, you know, the lines at that store are, like, forever long. So, you know, she's pulling out the bags, and she's trying to get you through the line. Has anyone even considered retrofitting? Like, how are you going to incorporate? I show up with my reusable bags, and I feel like the cashier's kind of like, what do you want me to do with those? Like, you know, has anybody ever considered, like, retrofitting those turnstiles, or, like, how do they fill the bags as quickly as what
that'll
they're
be
currently?
Up to the $1 billion box.
Walmart,
store.
Yeah. Yeah.
They
discourage you.
Do they?
They sort of discourage you from bringing your own bag because
yeah,
the way they
no,
prepare
I mean,
set up.
The, I think
have you seen anything or anybody?
Well, I know that. I mean, Hannaford is by me near my district.
Yeah.
It's not in my district, but it's our most local school in the Kansas district. And they have one of those revolving things, and they take your reusable bag and. I don't even know how they do it, but they take the handle and rub it through.
So they do
it
hand
through. Yeah, hand, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Run it through. I mean, I think, you know, I think that the big box stores are, on a corporate level, they're used to dealing with this. You know, they're ready. They have it in Nassau and Suffolk County on some level. You know what I mean? They're dealing with. And what happens is a pretty quick drop off. With this legislation, the paper drops off pretty quickly. So it starts to become all, you know.
Thank you, Teresa. I'm going to go with Jill and Jonathan, and then we hopefully wrap it up and have a vote.
I'd just like to be on the record saying I don't see the need in postponing. I don't see the need in education. I think you get 99. I mean, would you argue that we have almost 99% compliance on day one overnight? I mean, it literally, that's what they've seen in other places. Between the media and all these groups, I mean, when you look at the demographics and where people are at, I've talked to my own customers. I've yet, and this is a true statement, I've yet to have one person not say good. And those people from both sides, you have people that I talk to and I know their politics. I can't believe how ready for this legislation Ulster County is. And I think you're going to have people going in the stores enforcing for you. Imagine if you do give out plastic bags. The idea that we now have to start printing up plastic bags and put a big education. The other counties haven't done this, and what we heard from the experts that were in there, that we appreciate everything else they said you don't need it. They've had literally full compliance with very little enforcement whatsoever. And I think when you get full compliance with something like this, and we're not looking to go to some mom and pop store somewhere and start busting shops over something. Anyways, we're literally living with a small store here or there, just like these other counties around the country and the state have done. We get literally full compliance, doesn't cost the county a penny, and overnight you have the entire county talking about it, being covered in every news outlet from radio to paper to internet.
Thank you, Jonathan.
I would just say, you know, an example where I don't, like, especially, I think actually they're owned by Walmart, is Sam's Club. No one uses, there's no plastic bags, there's no, they actually, one of them, but I mean, they've made it a business model, and they actually, you know, sell different options of bags you can purchase there, the usable ones, some of them are
right,
but I think, you know, and the thing is, like, once you get used to it, you get used to it, you change your habits, you get... I just know, I don't even think about it when I go to Sam's Club. Now I grab my Sam's Club bag because I know that's all that's available.
Yeah, Aldi's does the same thing. In fact, Aldi's makes you put a quarter in to get the cart.
It's homeless person protection.
No, it's basically so you don't have to have somebody run out and get carts all the time. Yeah. It saves them hiring that person that has to go running around finding carts.
Thank you, Legislator Donaldson. Anything else before I call a vote, Kathy?
Just a quick point. That I think that what we're calling the effective date is actually, in my mind, the enforcement date. Yeah. The effective date is when we're going to be past this. If that's tomorrow night, then it's going to be tomorrow night. And as several people have said, I think there'll be strong social pressure to make this change. And so by the enforcement date, that is the date the county's going to be ready to start enforcing, I would expect that we would have nearly universal compliance, and that would be a wonderful thing. And I do take seriously the concern about making sure that people whose income is low enough that the charge on this would be a problem have multiple opportunities to acquire these bags and to start getting into the habit of using them, so that by the enforcement date, there are very few people who are being asked for a nickel. I think that's the benefit of pushing out the effective date.
Very good. All in favor?
No. Calling for the vote?
Yes.
Yes.
No. Opposed?
It failed 3-3. You came to make it fail?
No, I came for other things.
You didn't have to vote.
You have to vote if you're in the room.
284. Adopting proposed local law number 14 of 18, amending local law number 2 of 06. Charter form of government for the County of Ulster, State of New York, amending local law number 10 of 2008 to amend the term of office for members of the Ulster County Legislature.
I'll move it.
Because I remember one of the gentlemen used to come.
Do I have a second? Do I have a second on this?
Second.
Jonathan, thank you. Discussion? All absent any discussion?
I'll make it clear that I don't believe legislators need to run for four-year terms. The two-year terms is sufficient. I don't think it's a big hindrance for them to go out every 2 years to walk their district. So I really don't understand the purpose of this other than maybe... You know, let people relax a little more instead of having to go out to see their constituents a little more. So I'm definitely a no.
Thank you, Dave. Legislator Heppner, then, barring any other committee members, Jim Olney.
I understand the argument behind 4 years, especially when it's put together with the next resolution and term limits. You know, I've heard people make that argument. I hear them. But I have have trouble with the idea of county now you'll have all countywide officials and the entire legislature all locked in at 4 years. I think that's 4 years is a significant amount of time, and I have concerns with the public not having the ability to have any input. You know, elections are the best way for the public to, you know, make their voices heard. So to have the entire county locked in at 4 years, so you could have a public that's stuck with a county government for, you know, long time. I think it's important to have that ability for them to come to the polls
So for that, I'm going to be a no.
Exactly what David Donaldson said. It's my family.
You're right, Dylan. Nothing. Jeff.
This is a referendum that will be a tough time alone passing, so I will say that the public will have a chance to literally voice their opinion on this. Mm-hmm. But and I think that for checks and balances, you have a lot of reasons. We look at the state level, and I think you should match up with the executive branch. The legislative branch should match up. I think there's another reason. I think with two-year terms, Legislator Donaldson, who I agree on with so much, I disagree wholeheartedly with this, and I think some of that comes from maybe not. He gets out there, I've talked to Dave, but he gets out there even when he's running unopposed. But the district that Dave's from and his point of view is definitely different than mine. A lot of us have run, you know, if you're from a split district, which I wish all districts were, half your life is running. I mean, when you're out there 4 or 5 hours a night, every night for almost a year, how could you possibly, and it's a part-time position to begin with, the idea that this isn't taking away, then you get in there, especially freshman legislators many times get in there, and now they got to bring something back because they're going to be running in a couple of months again. So what do? They sign on to something that might not be something even that worthwhile because they got to bring something back to get accomplished. What you end up with is 1 year of work, 1 year of campaigning, and a lot of people doing things that they wouldn't normally be doing and putting less time into things as they would.
Like voting on a memorializing resolution.
Exactly. You know what? And they got there. And I think there was an aspect of memorializing resolutions that I have to get my name out there, and I have to, you know, speak to my base because I want to get reelected again. I think 4 year terms, Jonathan's exactly right. It only works if there's term limits as well. And I think 3 to 4 year terms sounds a lot better than endless 4 year terms. But I think we're at something like 92% return rate as it is. So term limits are really needed. We're not talking about that for another minute here. But I really see the value in a four-year term, especially if it's with term limits. And I think if it ever did pass a referendum, then you definitely have term limits passing. I think if they're both on there, I think term limits passes, and four-year terms probably don't. Anyways, but it is a referendum, so, and it's very straightforward. There's no way that a referendum can read all that different now that we split them. If the public wants term limits, if the public wants us to have 4 year terms, they'll say it. It's going to be on the ballot, and I really feel that the public should get the chance far more often than they do, but certainly on these two things, they should have the chance to decide.
Dave, you want to follow up?
Again, think it's easy to go back to your constituents every 2 years. You only represent approximately 8,000 people, we each do, and as a result, you can get out there and go meet them, and that's the whole idea. I do it I've done it every 2 years, and I think I'm the second most senior. I think Geraldine has me, but I've done it every 2 years. I've actually only run unopposed once, and that time I still went out. But so that's your job. That's what you should be doing every 2 years. And actually, in a sense, as Jim will attest, who's been here not quite as long as I have, but he'll tell you the same thing. You campaign all the time.
Every
day. In a sense, you go to events, you do things, you participate here, you participate there, and you know, that's you know, in a sense, part of the campaigning. I mean, when I'm in a grocery store, people come up to talk to me. You know, if I go out to eat in Kingston, rarely do I eat without somebody coming up and talking to me. I mean, I've been around long enough, whatever, you know, they know me. So no matter where I go, somebody will come up and start talking to me about politics or whatever, and I will talk with them about it. I don't shun them away. That's, you know, that's who I am. That's my job. I'm a legislator.
He's a star.
Yeah, nope.
I sign autographs with one. It's just the point that it's reality. And, you know, and in fact, in some ways, the longer you're there, the more you end up campaigning because you're always being, you know, because people know you more.
Kath, you got your hand up, or are you just, like, laughing at him?
Just the former. No, I actually agree with the legislator Donaldson on this completely. I'm sorry to say this resolution brought forward as a good government action. To me, it is not.
the way that you get good government is having people more directly responsible to their constituents. Every 2 years, they get a chance to change over. We have 8 new legislators in the legislature this year, which is a sign of that.
I think the way
to address some of the concerns about having to campaign all the time and those issues is to do the comprehensive campaign finance reform as in the law that we have if you have public financing for people who need it, it can take off a little bit of that concern, and you can have people who are all 23 of us out there every 2 years.
And you campaign with your little carry-on bag and everything, you're all set.
But the county's going to pay for it.
Yeah,
taxpayer dollars.
Yeah. Public funds.
Yeah. All right. Well, I guess we're ready to roll, right?
Yeah, let's call the vote here. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
No.
Four to two.
Well, four no's, two yeses.
Oh, 2-4.
Adopting 285, everybody.
Wait.
2-4.
You know.
No.
No.
Kevin's enough.
No.
Oh.
Yes. Yes.
2-0. Right. 2-4.
2-4. I got it.
You did it.
Sure.
Yeah. Failed 4-2. Because there's 6 of us on the committee. Heidi and I voted yes. Everybody else voted no.
We're going to go 285. That's adopting proposed local law number 15 of 18.
Amendment. I'll move it.
And this is going to create term limits for certain Ulster County elected officials.
The word certain, if I could, Mr. Chairman, means all of the ones that we're allowed to by law.
David?
Alrighty, what Legislator Nolan pointed out before, I was going to bring up. I was going to wait until this resolution came up. One of the reasons they say is there's not enough turnover. Well, we have 8 new legislators this year. That's over 1/3 of the legislature got turned over. So the idea that you need term limits doesn't make sense. And then I think Legislator Ronk once made the comment that, well, if you can't get done what you want, came here to get done in 12 years, then you shouldn't be here. I didn't come here to get anything specifically done other than represent the people that sent me here. And that's sort of like saying that, you know, like I taught for 28 years, and it's sort of like saying, well, after 12 years, I wouldn't be any good anymore. I can't do the job now. But yet I had the highest percentage passing the reading exam, so I guess I might have knew what I was doing. The point is when you learn, and I'll tell you what, I still learn. I'm still learning on this job, despite being here as long as I have. We still continue to learn. Little innuendo things that you didn't realize, that where you can get somebody, where you can help somebody out. That's the whole point. I come here to help other people out, and if somebody calls me, I basically can tell them where they should go. Where they should zero in on, if I can't help them personally. The point is, term limits are made, they're there every 2 years. That's why I want you to be able to vote every 2 years. If I'm not doing the job, throw me the hell out.
Very good. I think anybody else on the committee want to speak before I allow Legislator Joe Maloney? Joe, go ahead.
We don't need to say much. I gave a pretty good spiel the last laws and rules, I think, about that. I won't do it again. When we were talking about term limits. I think this is made for a referendum. And the idea that the 28 elected officials in this county are the best 28 of people to the county might be offensive to hundreds of thousands of people. There's so many qualified people out there, but not only that, the incumbent has such a built-in advantage. People don't even get involved because of that advantage. There's pros and cons to everything. We could sit here and talk for hours about term limits, and we'd all come up with a ton of pros and a ton of cons. I'm ready for the vote.
Thank you, Jeff.
Can I just say one other thing? No, go ahead, Jeff.
Well, this letting people vote to send somebody back is the democratic way to assess what the people want. And I think people who believe in term limits should limit their terms.
Say that again.
Dave, you want to follow up to that?
People who believe in term limits should limit their own terms. They should leave at the end of whatever period of time they think they're no longer effective. They shouldn't offer themselves back to the public anymore. Whether they don't need a law.
It's a good theory.
Again, I certainly can't argue with that. The other thing is, I don't see term limits for, I can understand term limits for, shall we say, an executive or the governor or, I don't have a problem with it either, but it would be a set term limits, but I don't see term limits for legislative bodies, because legislators do not amass power. They can't hire people and fire people and all that. They don't have that. The only power they amass is maybe they have seniority. Maybe they amass a little, they get a little respect for their seniority. Maybe something like that. I don't know. But they do not have the power to hire and fire and control things throughout a county. So I don't see that. I can understand it for, like I said, executives. I understand that argument. I don't know if I agree with it, but I do understand the argument. I don't understand the argument for legislators. I just don't understand the argument.
All in favor? You want to speak, Kenny?
No, it's okay. Joe articulated a lot of my points, like he said last month, and I've articulated them repeatedly, so there's no need to belabor.
Thank you. I think Jim Maloney had his hands up.
No, I was voting.
You were jumping on the vote.
He was jumping on the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? What's the vote there, Jay?
4-2. That one passed.
Interesting.
Can we bundle 8 and 9?
Yes, we can. I'll take a motion to bundle 8 and 9.
So moved.
Pointing both commissioners.
Second. On the bundle.
On the bundle. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All in favor?
On the resolution.
On the resolution.
Oops.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Aye.
Ken, why do these come to us? Just because they have nowhere else to go?
It's our job.
Because the Board of Elections is under
laws and rules.
Yes.
I do have some...
Me too.
...problems about certain things that are really happening.
You have to take that up with the Democratic Committee.
Actually, we could buck the committee and not go with it, right?
Yeah, Dutchess County did that a couple years ago, yeah. Although I don't support that happening.
I would.
Necessarily. Want to put it in non-consent so you can vote no?
I'm going to vote for Tom. So I do got issues, but I'll keep my mouth shut.
I make a motion to adjourn.
Thank you.
Second.
All in favor?